Hi, welcome to our podcast, Where Next? Travel with Kristen and Carol. I am Kristen.
And I am Carol.
And we're two long-term friends with a passion for travel and adventure.
Each episode, we interview people around the globe to help us decide where to go next.
In this episode, we're meeting with Teresa and Kyle from the Mountain Town Ramblers podcast. We will learn about Banff, that is B-A-N-F-F, which is one of the most beautiful towns in the Canadian Rockies. If you enjoy our podcast, can you please follow us and give us a review? It's a super easy, quick task that really helps the show. Enjoy the episode.
Thanks, Teresa and Kyle, for joining us today from Mountain Town Ramblers in Banff, which I know nothing about, so I'm super excited to learn about it.
Perfect. Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're so excited to teach you everything we know about Banff.
Great. And so now how did this whole thing start? How long have you been going? And do you just do Banff or do you do other places as well?
That's a really good question. Well, we have been doing this podcast for just over a year. We released our first podcast last March. We have just released, it's really exciting. We just released our 25th episode. And the idea at the time was just to talk about and share stories of beautiful mountain towns that we go to. And so there's really no limit of the towns that we go to. Banff just happens to be very conveniently close to us. And we think one of the most beautiful mountain towns in Canada, if not the world.
I don't know. We'll have to go to the mall and see what
they have. I know. So we get the luxury of being able to go to Banff quite frequently, but we have gone into Idaho. We're going to be releasing some episodes on Ireland in the next coming weeks. So we don't limit ourselves. We like to go everywhere.
And where do you live?
Well, we live in Edmonton, Alberta, which is probably about a 3-hour drive from the mountains. It's about 4 hours from Banff. So,
okay, gotcha. I see. Yep. I just hear Edmonton, I think hockey.
I'm wearing my hockey hat right now.
That's great. So how did this whole thing start with you wanting to do and launch a podcast and in the mountains? I'm a huge mountain and even more so lakes and mountains kind of person. So
You're going to like Banff then a lot for sure.
Oh, I've been there. I actually have been there.
Nice.
Yeah, junior high. It was a long time ago, but I do remember Lake Louise, that the hotel. I can't remember what the hotel is.
Well, Banff Springs or Chateau Lake Louise, depending on which one you're looking at. Yeah.
They're beautiful. Yes. Tell us how we started. It was your idea.
Yeah, basically it just started with an idea to, I don't know, just document and tell some stories. I think originally I was going to do it on my own. And then I thought, well, why would I not invite my new significant other to help out? And so we've only been dating slightly longer than I think this podcast is actually in age. And so, early on, I said, you know what, this is going to be a lot more fun with you involved. And we're doing all these things together anyway. So we just sort of changed the idea, broadened it out a little bit. And now we just, it's a journal of our travels. It's advice. It's, I think it's the idea that we are not really experts when it comes to mountains, although we're starting to feel that way now, but we are on this journey of trying to learn and how to do these things and then make it accessible for other people. Cause a lot of people are a little bit intimidated by going for hikes in the wilderness. I know I was 3 or 4 years ago for sure. And now I can't imagine not doing it on a pretty regular basis.
And I think something that accidentally happened was the continual involvement of our podcast. We're really on this learning journey for everything, the technology, how to do a podcast and share our stories and how to get the word out there. But we're also on a journey to figure out how to be more intentional with our travels and learn more about where we're going. And that, I think, the process of this podcast has been a really cool blessing in disguise that we did not really anticipate happening. We've learned so, so much about the history of the places that we go. We've had this intention to meet people and talk to people when we go to these towns, which has been an unexpected positive of this podcast.
Yeah. And learning the history and knowing, you know, the people that are there now and the people that were there before that. It is very interesting. And because we sort of have a schedule, we're kind of forcing ourselves to have to travel every few weeks.
And it's too bad.
Whereas, you know, maybe we might be like, oh, I'm too tired to go to the mountains this weekend. You want to do it or skip it. But now we're kind of forced to do those things. And it's fun. And we're forced to interact with people because we talk and we meet people. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And we've, you know, it's a good way to live life. And I think that's what we're starting to learn from this.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a great story.
So do you guys work? Are you retired or, you know, how are you setting that up? We're all pretty slowed down for retirement, but do you work and then you just plan trips? Because you've done, you said 25 of them so far.
Yeah. So I'm a teacher. And so I have my, you know, full-time teaching job, and Teresa works for the Alberta government, and that's a full-time. It's, I don't know, I keep talking over you maybe, but I think for me, at least, I need these things because the job search is quite stressful. And although it makes us very, very busy all the time, I find myself far less stressed than I think I used to be a year ago when, you know, we weren't out and doing the things.
Well, you know what I've just noticed in the last couple of months, I find myself getting, if it's been more than 3 or 4 weeks since we've done one of these getaways and excursions into the wilderness, I find myself getting really anxious and not as clear in my thinking. So I have become dependent on that reprieve and the time in nature to be able to ground myself. I've really appreciated that. Yeah.
That's a good addiction, for sure.
And do you guys go just car and drive and hike around? Do you backpack at all, or how do you set it up?
It varies. Sometimes we explore provincial parks that are an hour away from our house. If we don't have a lot of time, we just have one day, but we still want to get outside and learn about a new space. If we plan, we usually plan for one weekend a month at least. And usually that's driving. Well, no, it's been driving every time.
It's been driving. Oh, you just flew to Ireland.
So. I did. You didn't come with me.
No.
Oh.
So usually we drive, we'll stay at a hotel or we'll camp. We have done multi-day backcountry hikes. Last summer was our first one. That was an adventure in and of itself. It was hilarious and also torturous. No, that's not the right word. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And that's kind of what our journey has been too. We're not campers. We're not backcountry hikers. Like we're city people, right? And so, you know, COVID sort of brought that out. Like, where can we go when we're not allowed to go anywhere? And the mountains are only a few hours away. And we had been to them before. We've all been to the towns, but we stay in the towns. We eat at the restaurants. We look at the mountains. We go home, right? And this has been something different. So we have, you know, a whole episode in there about our adventures in the backcountry of Jasper National Park. And like, we're not always doing the right thing at all.
No. But
we're learning to do that. And
we make a lot of mistakes in many areas.
Yeah, but it's great. That's such a silver lining for, you know, the COVID pandemic. You know, if you made some mistakes, how have you prepared for some of your trips? Just going online and then there's really not good content, or then you just end up making new content, or?
Well, I don't know. I know that's like the content is good and we sometimes know what to do, but sometimes
it's the execution.
Yeah.
Maybe we're lacking in. So
you're forgetting the bear sprays in the car, having sandwiches in our pockets when we probably shouldn't.
I know.
Like, it's just forgetting water, going on a 20K hike and realizing 3K in, we didn't bring any water. it's things that, you know, we know now we have boxes in the back of the car that, you know, we have stuff in, and we look at the box and make sure the, you know, we have the stuff we need. And I don't know, it's just goofy, and we do silly things and we don't take ourselves too seriously.
No, but my motto throughout this whole year has been, we're failing forward. Mm-hmm. So we'll make a mistake and we'll learn from it. And that's, it's just been this really cool growing opportunity. But I have learned a lot about hiking and gear and adventuring through social media, which he is not on. He does not go on social media. But I
join our social media, but I'm not on there.
I don't do very much either. I do Facebook, but that's pretty much it. It's been a minor.
There's so many experts out there that have these great accounts that share their learnings and their lists and their gear recommendations. And I've really learned a lot from that. And also realized that, holy smokes, there's so many places that I want to go to in the world.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we're learning. I thought I had like Portugal, but now I'm like, oh my gosh, Portugal, the Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, like Ecuador.
You're going to have Banff, Carol.
Yes.
Banff is pretty amazing. Well, I was going to say, your 25 destinations, have they, aside from, it looks like, I don't know if Ireland's still there, but are they all in Canada or have you gone to the US or what's that look like?
We've gone to the US. So we did one on Japan. So we do have an episode on Japan. So that's Teresa had lived there for a year. And so we felt like even though we hadn't been there in the last few years, we could do an episode on it because she had lived there for a year.
Nice.
I did an episode on Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port in France, which is sort of the starting point of the Camino de Santiago. And that's something I have done 4 times. And so I felt like I could do that. And it's a nice mountain town with, and I felt like I could remember enough, but I haven't been there in 3 years.
What was the town called? So that was
Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. So it's just on the border between France and Spain. And it's a, it's really that historical or that traditional starting part for the Camino de Santiago.
So we did an episode.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Did you do the trek 4 times or just been to the town 4 times? Sorry.
No, I've done the trek 4 times. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's one of my favorites. And yeah, it was brilliant. So we did an episode there and then we have 4 episodes in Idaho. And then we've done some other things in Washington and Oregon, but we didn't do any podcasts on it. We went there this summer. We did the West Coast Trail and did some things there, but we wanted that to be a vacation. We didn't want to work and we regret that now.
Yeah. We're like, oh.
Why didn't we do that? All over sort of, you know, that North Pacific Northwest and then Western Eye, and then, you know, some international destinations.
And someone is planning a week for us this summer, but I don't know it. He's keeping the destination a surprise. So it could be the States. He won't give in. He won't give me any clues.
No.
Well, if it's Colorado or Yosemite, you have to call one of us.
Okay. And that's the area you're in.
Yeah, yes. I'm in California and she's in Colorado.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Colorado was on our very high on our list of places we were considering going this summer for sure. So
I was just there. I just came back yesterday and Carol and I were hiking in the Flatirons and Mount Sanitas and Red Rock Amphitheater. Had some fun little trips and things, but and actually I backpack and I hike and I'm pretty outdoorsy, but I have a trip I'm planning June 1st through the 4th with women who are interested in backpacking. So I'm doing Yosemite in a couple weeks or next month, I guess. So yeah, with the snow, I'm trying to figure out all the, you know, what we have to do. Actually, I found out we have to hike from the valley floor up to Glacier Point, which is straight up. Well, it's switchbacks too, but. Yeah, it'll be fun though.
Nice.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, let's dive into Banff. So I'm so excited to hear all about it. Yeah, learn more because it has been over 20 years for me.
Yeah, so it looks like Banff is a town and a national park. So have you explored?
I get to go first?
Go for it, yes.
Okay, jump in if I'm going to miss anything. So here I go. So Banff National Park is Canada's first national park. Was created in the late 1800s. I'm not going to say
80 something.
Okay. We won't get the years, but there is the town of Banff is the main town or residential area within that national park. It is located. So it's in the Canadian Rockies. So the Canadian Rockies span from north to south, the border of BC and Alberta. And so if you fly into Calgary, it's an hour and 20 minute drive from the city of Calgary to Banff. So convenient to get to for international travelers and for anybody in Alberta. Most Albertans, I would say, have gone to the Canadian Rockies and Banff. So there's 2 national parks in the Canadian Rockies on the Alberta side, Jasper National Park and Banff National Park. Banff is by far the most popular tourist destination. There are about 4 million tourists come and visit Banff every year. And it's a tiny little town. There's only,
five or 6,000 people.
It's a small town, but it is definitely a resort town. It was built and established to accommodate the tourism industry and visitors. So it's very quaint and beautiful and convenient for people to get to and travel around.
I was wondering, too, because I remember being there. I remember seeing rock climbers and getting a tank top that I wore for, like, 20 years. It was a long time. It was a tie-dye and it had a picture of a rock climber and it said Banff on it. But weren't there, I'm remembering correctly, right? Because I think I was watching rock climbers and it
looked like definitely rock climbers for sure. Ice climbers as well in the winter. Yeah, all sorts of things.
It's that the town of Banff is nestled within like this beautiful Bow Valley. And there are some of the most stunning rocky mountains surrounding the town. Cascade Mountain is one of the most famous ones, but there are so many beautiful mountains and cliffs and heights and rock climbers. It's
waterfalls, lakes. Yeah. It's
the lakes, yeah. Kristen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Lake Louise. Lake Louise is the most popular lake for tourists. There's also Moraine Lake, which is one of those beautiful glacial color lakes that's situated at the base of the Valley of the 10 Peaks, it's called. So there's 10 beautiful mountain peaks in the background. It's on money. Dollars to donuts, you will have seen a picture of that lake. You will be like, oh, that's it. I've seen that before because it's so beautiful. It's everywhere.
And I see Lake Minnewanka looks very long. Mm.
So beautiful. That's the longest lake in Banff.
Yeah, it's also the deepest, I think, too, isn't it?
Yeah. And that lake has a cool story. There was a dam that was built in the 30s after the recession, and that lake rose, was it 30 feet, over 30 feet, and it completely submerged a resort town that was just on the base of that lake. So right now at the bottom of this lake, because it's so frozen, is a completely intact little resort town. And there's people that come
scuba dive
to go and travel through this little town in the bottom of this lake. It's so cool.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's very unusual. Oh my goodness. That sounds so it's still the town is still underwater to this day.
Completely preserved because of the temperature of the water.
What is it called?
Oh, I don't remember the name of the town.
Yeah, it wasn't so much was it a town or a resort that had some I think town where I mean it might be overstating town. A half dozen village. Buildings. Village, yeah. Like resort.
Village, yeah. Yeah. Not hamlet.
Yeah.
Lake Minnewanka.
Yeah. So yeah, when they built the dam, they knew that that was going to get covered up to make way for the electrical stuff that they're doing there. Right. But yeah, resorts, I don't know. I haven't seen any pictures of it, but and we haven't been down there, but we see the scuba divers going down.
It's way too cold.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
How high is the water, like over the town? Is it like you're just swimming next to it's pretty deep.
Oh, no, it's deep.
It's very, very deep.
Yeah, you're not going to be swimming in there and just like, oh, there's the town. Like, you've got to scuba dive to get there for sure.
Yeah, but I wondered if it's like, I don't know, but I just know feet. I don't even know.
I want to say it was at its deepest, like, we wrote this in the travel guide, so we're trying to remember, but like, I want to say 60 meters. So that's going to be like 120 feet or 130 feet, but I could be totally making that up.
Was that
Teresa's going to fact check that.
I'm going to fact check. Was that an intentional segue to the travel guide? I liked how you slipped that in there.
Yeah. Let's talk about the travel guide. Where did you find that on the Mountain Ramblers website?
So we're the authors of the travel guide, but we're not the actual owners of it. Our friends that live in Utah, actually, they're called We're in the Rockies. So if you go to weareintherockies.com, I think, right? That's website.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll find the travel guide that we wrote for Banff and Jasper, but it's actually their guide and they sell it there, but we highly recommend it because we wrote them. So it's one that we like, and we did a lot of research on that, but how did you find how deep it was?
No.
Yeah. We'll see if we can get back to you on that one.
Before that's fine. The
episode. Yeah.
It's funny when I see we're in the Rockies, I think Colorado, but you're saying the Canadian Rockies, right? Because that's what you also called it.
We're in the Rockies is the name of the owner of the guide. So they're actually a couple in Utah. Yeah. We call them our American counterparts.
Yes.
They're our doppelgangers. So they explore Zion. Oh gosh.
Yellowstone. Red Rock, like anything in Utah for sure.
They have a YouTube channel and they share information on history and hikes and things to do in those places too. So they reached out to us and said, "Hey, we want to do a guide on Banff. You're the experts on Banff, quote unquote. Help us out." So we did.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Which was very exciting for us because we got to learn a lot of that history that we didn't really know. We go, we travel, we know where the hikes are and things like that. Oh, 142 meters is the depth of that lake, by the way. So 450 feet.
Whoa.
Wow.
So very no deep. One's going down to see the hotel then, right?
Well, whatever. No. Well, no, that you scuba dive down there. Yeah. So you put on the full gear, the scuba gear, and people go to see it apparently. So we have not yet.
Yeah.
We just talked
to people. How far do you scuba dive down? A couple hundred feet? That's a lot. I know. Yeah. As you can see, that is definitely something I haven't done, but
probably not too many people.
No. Absolutely. So in Banff, what do you recommend in terms of staying, getting there, being there?
Yeah, well, I mean, getting there, if you're coming internationally, if you're not coming, you know, from driving distance, you're flying into Calgary. You're probably renting a car or taking a shuttle from Calgary to Banff, which they do exist. There are buses that go. Yep. Once you're in Banff, they have an excellent transit system that takes you around the park.
Roam Transit.
Yeah. So you actually don't have to have a car. They have bus stops in the middle of nowhere, right? Like it's like at trailheads, there'll be a bus stop because that's one thing. Now it does not go every single place. So we would recommend getting a car if you really want to get out there. Mm-hmm. But
there's certainly ways you could do it without.
And how far of a drive is it from Calgary to Banff?
One hour, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes. You'll drive through what's called
Denver to Estes Park, almost like Rocky Mountain National Park. Yeah.
But it's a beautiful drive because you'll drive through Kananaskis Provincial Park.
Yep.
You'll drive through Canmore, which is actually probably the more reasonable place to stay as opposed to Banff. And then you'll enter the national park into Banff, but you'll be in mountains almost within 20 minutes or 30 minutes of leaving Calgary. You'll be in the mountains.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, when we went to stay with family in Vancouver, and then we drove to Banff.
Nice. You have 12 hours of mountains all the way to Calgary then, yes.
Yeah, we cut it. We stayed in a hotel that had a water slide.
Oh,
yes. We were all happy. I think there was like a McDonald's there or something like that.
Yeah. So places to recommend, like I know that was your question. I don't think you go to the park without going to Lake Louise for sure.
Yeah.
When you're at Lake Louise, you definitely want to tour around the Chateau Lake Louise. And that's also sort of the sister hotel to the Banff Springs Hotel in Banff. And these were built from the railway back in the 1880s. I want to say 1883, if I remember correctly. But these were built as tourist attractions to help fund and encourage, you know, tourists to come and use the train. So the hotels were built before the towns were there. Mm-hmm. And they've got really good and interesting history. So checking out the two Fairmont hotels that were built well over 100 years ago now is definitely worth doing. Lake Louise is gorgeous. And there are many, many hikes. There are some tea houses up in the wilderness where you can hike to.
Oh, that's interesting.
Tea and some, you know, beautiful things. I saw an avalanche from the tea house last summer, or two summers ago.
So scary.
Yeah.
There's a gondola too in the summer Lake Louise, behind Lake Louise that there's a gondola you can take up. Lots of people see bears on the journey up. It's bear country there for sure. But so in the winter, it's a really popular world-renowned ski resort.
Yes.
For Lake Louise. So, but in the summer, they use that gondola for dining up at the top of the mountain. You have beautiful views of the lake up above, and you could see the wildlife in that area. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
So Lake Louise, is it actually a lake? I haven't ever tried.
Oh, yes. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
It's a lake, and there's a village there called the Village of Lake Louise. And then there's a ski resort behind the lake. Oh, it's so pretty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I see Lake Louise. Oh, there it is. Okay. Too spout. Far out there. Okay.
Yeah. So you should see the Chateau Lake Louise right on the shore of Lake Louise.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that has been on our money somewhere along the line too, hasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of
mountains on our money.
A lot of mountains on our money. Yeah.
Change the pictures a lot. That's a good place to be. And then I remember doing like kayaking and things on.
Yeah.
Was it Lake Louise that I did it on? I'm assuming, or was there, I feel like maybe it was another lake next to it. Cause it didn't feel like in Lake
Moraine Lake.
It was so tiny.
Tiny lake, maybe not. So Moraine Lake and Lake Louise are pretty big.
Lake Louise, is that?
They're not too big.
They're it gets several kilometers
yeah.
across on Lake Louise, but they do have the boat rentals, the kayak and canoe rentals.
Yeah.
Right in the shack, but so is Moraine Lake as well.
At Lake Minnewanka.
And Lake Minnewanka as well, yeah. So Lake Minnewanka might feel small because it's small at the front, but then it goes and wraps around the mountain. I don't know.
There's a little loop. It's called Lake Minnewanka Scenic Drive. And along this little loop, there are tons of places to go and stop. Lake Minnewanka is the big draw on this scenic drive. There's a ghost town there called Bankhead. And then there's another couple of smaller lakes that are maybe a little bit more amenable to paddling and kayaking
because there's Johnson less windy. Lake,
Johnson Lake.
Chujak Lake. Yeah. So, I mean, there isn't a shortage of lakes and there isn't a shortage of canoe rental places and kayak rental places there. So it's hard to say which one you might have been on, but you could certainly do that at Lake Louise for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And how far is Lake Louise from the other lake you mentioned? Is it like
You take a shuttle between them, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that. It depending on traffic, it could be an hour, but I mean, I think it's 15 to 20 minutes, something like that. They're not far from each other.
The national park just removed the ability of private cars to go into and drive to Moraine Lake this year. So it's a big thing for tourists who are wanting to go and do sunset hikes up to Moraine Lake. They can no longer take their cars. So the shuttles are the only way they can get there. And some of them don't operate that time. It's a big controversy on Instagram. There's no more shuttle to Moraine Lake.
Well, the problem is there's so much of a parking problem in July and August in Banff that they're really trying to encourage people to use the shuttles whenever possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the question of when is the best time to go and what's the weather like? You know, because I figured snow because it's Canada and I see snow in the mountains anyway.
Yeah. Do you want this one?
Okay, so that's a good assumption that there's snow. Winter can be very long and cold in Canada, but that makes Banff a very good destination for skiers. There's three major ski resorts. So if you're a big ski buff or you like cross-country skiing or skating, winter's a great time to go.
Snowshoeing,
yeah. We love winter hiking. There's no hiking season for us. The whole year is hiking season. So winter's a good time to go if you like skiing. And there's also less crowds in the winter.
It's also cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Summer is beautiful in terms of the weather that you get. You get really long days. Our daylight hours are up to 18 hours of daylight. In the summertime, it's beautiful. And it's nice and warm without being too uncomfortably hot.
But what's the time? Like, when does it get dark or when does it get light and when does it get dark?
Oh, you'll see light. It never truly gets black in the summer. Like, always got that light gray haze that you can see. But you get sunrise at about 4:20, 4:30 a.m. And then sunsets about 10:50 probably in Banff, 10:45. But again, you still have light till 11, 11:05, probably something like that. Yeah.
Way past our bedtime. Yeah. You can also see the northern lights in Banff.
Yes.
They're beautiful and they are going off like crazy this past month. I've seen so many pictures of northern lights in Banff. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the wintertime, it is spectacular because, I mean, these are reflections off, snow and ice caps so and things pretty. Like that. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So if you get into these dark sky preserves, which we have a lot of in the parks there, those northern lights are beautiful. They're hard to describe. Like, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Is there a season of northern lights?
No, they can happen all throughout the year. I think that they come and go in ebbs and flows.
Winter would be best just because you have more nights.
Nighttime.
Right? So you just have more ability because it's dark, right? But yeah, I mean, winter is your best time, probably, I would say for sure. But you said like last month, it was just, or this month,
it's crazy.
We have a little tracker that we look for them and see when they're coming. And they just show up and we're like, oh, we're going to miss
them. They show up at like 2 or 3 a.m. and we're well in bed past 9:30.
Yeah. So they can predict that? They're like, the weatherman can predict it?
Wow. Yeah, they have Aurora. It's a site called Aurora Chasers in Alberta. Because they're so prominent, they can tell there's some magnetic resonance that they're tracking in the atmosphere. They can predict the likelihood of them being northern lights.
Yeah, not perfect, but
no.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. Wow.
Yeah. But back to that question of
which we avoided. Time to,
yes. No, we went around a circle. We do that. We ramble.
It was good. Good
answer. That's your name.
Yeah. You understand why we named ourselves that now. But I'm going to say my favorite time to go is in the fall.
Yeah, we're not going to agree, I don't think.
No.
Maybe, but.
So for me, it's the fall. It's October. So beautiful. The colors of fall are my favorite you have beautiful larch trees that turn a golden color. They're really, really pretty. The sky's really blue. It's nice temperature out still, but there is a fraction of the tourists on the street, and the prices are lower because it's in between summer and winter. So that's my favorite. What's your answer?
You know what? I might agree with you on this one. Like, July and August is amazing, but you will be absolutely inundated with people. Like, it is busy, especially in the town site.
Yeah.
The hikes get crowded. So if you're looking for solitude, it's not, you're not going to find it on the biggest attractions, but there is a lot of space to move around in the park. So there are literally hundreds of hikes. So you can still find it in the summertime for sure, but it is very expensive. If you are not booking your hotels 4 or 5 months out, I mean, you're paying $400 and up a night hotels.
Yeah.
You know, like Banff Springs could run you $1,200 or $1,500 in the summer if you're trying to book it a week out. And, you know, even if you try to book it 6 months out, it's still $500, $600. I was at the Banff Springs this last weekend and for a conference, and people were paying $600 a night at Banff Springs in April. So
is that pretty fancy, the Banff Springs, or is that?
Oh, that's the fanciest. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's named the castle in the mountains or something.
Castle in the Rockies.
Its nickname. If you look up a picture of Banff Springs Hotel,
I've seen it.
Oh,
I went and we had food there. Then I remember eating there. Right, they have a restaurant in there.
They have many. They have
so many restaurants.
Yeah, and it's actually, even if you're not a guest, they encourage you to hang out, go do the things. They have bowling alleys, many restaurants. The food is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more expensive than the typical food in Banff, but not terribly more expensive. And
this is going to be my hidden gem.
Oh,
this is my hidden gem.
Yeah, this looks like, it starts with the B. I'm going to have to, there's a fancy hotel down in Colorado Springs. Look just like old, kind of like very, I don't know, European, very, very fancy.
And Canada is full of these hotels along the railway that the Canadian Pacific Railway built to encourage tourism and get people on the rails as passengers. Mm-hmm. So, all the way to Victoria.
So, off season, how much would this Banff Springs be?
You might get lucky to get it for $300 to $400 if you're really lucky. Yeah.
Okay.
January, maybe. Yeah.
But the workaround is this. You don't have to stay in a hotel room to benefit from the beauty of this hotel. We go there a lot and we wander about. There's some really cool ghost stories in some hallways. There's tours there. Mm-hmm. But we found this really cool place kind of hidden, tucked away in the corner. It's called the Living Room.
Yes.
And it's underneath this Ramsay bar. And it's, you go down the stairs and it's this extremely beautiful space with wall, a floor to ceiling stone fireplaces,
and like 100-foot ceilings, like
beautiful,
like massive. Yeah,
but it's free. There's pool tables, board games. We hung out there for a few hours for free and enjoyed this beautiful space. And
we ordered a drink from the bar. Yeah, yeah, it was great. And the tours, you have to be a guest to get the tours, but there's nothing to stop you from just walking and following the tour behind and listening to
we would
it's all
never.
In public spaces, right? it is a beautiful hotel and it's worth staying or at least visiting if you can't stay there for sure.
Yeah,
and there's lots of things around there.
Yeah, I was curious also about the hikes that you, like any that you would recommend, and also what would you guys categorize yourself in terms of beginner, intermediate, advanced? What kind type of hikes do you like to do, short, long? It sounds like you've done several. What would you recommend?
Well, I think we are doing things harder than we probably should be doing. I don't know. We're working our way to it. So we do shorts. We do medium. We did that. We did the Tonquin Valley in just
short.
Under 10K.
Okay.
I was going to ask what's up. So that's like 5 miles.
Oh, yeah. Like the 10K would be about 7, 6 miles, something in that range.
Yeah, it's like 5.67 something like that. It's a little over. It's not. Yeah. It's under 6 miles, but it's somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah. So
that'd be our easy hikes.
15, 18 kilometers. So probably pushing 10, 11 miles is kind of moderate to heavy for us. But then we did the 42K, so roughly, 30 miles?
Whoa.
Yeah.
In the backcountry.
What time period?
3 nights, but through some pretty... Wow. Beautiful, but tough terrain.
Right.
So we've sort of done it all. We've done lots of hikes that are sort of straight up, and we've done lots of really base ones. But I don't know, your favorite BAMF, I think, was what the question was. Like, if you had to pick one for,
all right,
do you want to eat like a moderate that most people could do? Like,
yeah, or do beginning, intermediate, advanced.
Sure. What's your favorite beginner hike?
Must do beginner hike under 5K, Johnson Canyon. Johnson Canyon.
Johnson?
Johnston. With a T.
Johnston. Okay.
It takes you through one of the most beautiful caverns. Oh, it's beautiful. And there's waterfalls. That's a busy one. So better to probably go a little bit early. That's a popular one.
Or late in the summer. Like if you went at 9 o'clock at night,
you're so
in
good.
The summer, you're going to be golden. It'll be awesome. Yeah.
Are the falls still going then in late summer? They are.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And in the wintertime, which is when we actually love to go, prefer they're frozen. The ice climbers are out there climbing the because they're quite large falls, and it's beautiful.
So pretty. What's your favorite easy hike in Banff? This very serious question. You have been the Pandora's that
box. Yeah.
I love in it. Banff.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to, for easy, I can't believe you didn't say Johnson Lake.
Johnson Lake.
I thought you were going to say Johnson Lake because I was going to say Johnson Canyon.
That's a good one too.
Okay. So on the Minnewanka Scenic Drive.
Yeah.
There is about a 4 or 5K hike. It just goes around the lake. It's very peaceful. It's wooded. You get the lake. You get the mountain views. Johnson Lake. Gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
What's the altitude of Banff? The town.
18. You're asking questions. Okay, hold on, Teresa.
what's the altitude of Calgary? Is Calgary? Oh, I guess we can.
Calgary's well over 1,000. I know that.
Okay.
Well, it says Lake Louise sits at elevation of 1,600 meters, so 5,200 feet.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Oh, that will be something.
It's from your website. Oh no no no! Wait, I'm sorry. It's not. It's I just typed in Lake Louise. I thought it was on that one. But yeah, it says making it Canada's highest community.
Oh, okay. And Banff won't be terribly different. It might be 100 meters different. Yeah. Or something, but
I think moderate hike.
Yeah.
What's her favorite?
No, they're both in valleys. So they're kind of just in a nice nestled valley. What's your moderate one?
Ugh. Well, my moderate one's not in Banff. My favorite one is in Kananaskis, but we're not talking about that. It's maybe a 45-minute drive outside of Banff, though.
But yeah, can we go outside the park just to, like by 20 minutes? Yeah.
Absolutely. If it's a recommendation from you, I'd love to do that for sure.
So it's not over 30 minutes. No,
No, this hike, so it's called the Green Monster Icefall Trail. It's along Evan Thomas Creek in Kananaskis Country, just outside of Banff National Park. So maybe 30, 40 minutes outside of Banff.
Yeah, but that's a winter hike.
It's a winter hike.
Yes.
That's my favorite though. 15 kilometers.
Yeah. You have to go to our website to see the pictures from that one. It's in Kananaskis, but
our Instagram account.
Instagram. Yeah, the pictures are amazing from
what's the Instagram the handle?
Monster. Mountain Town Ramblers.
Okay. No, what kind of shoes do you wear when you winter hike?
Snowshoes? No, because these are still quite busy. So usually the trail is groomed or at least trampled down. So the first person is nice enough to sort of put footprints and the next person will put footprints or the snowshoers will get out there. But by the time we get there, they're pretty groomed. Like people have packed them down.
We wear the same hiking boots all year round. So I have all season hiking boots. They're waterproof. I find if they're winter hiking boots, my feet get too hot. But the difference is in the socks that we wear between summer and winter. So winter, we double up, but wear merino wool socks over our first layer and make sure that our boots are waterproof. And then, like Kyle was saying, we make sure we have our cleats or crampons.
Yeah, because it's very icy and you don't want to be trying to even slight elevations without the spikes are difficult or dangerous.
Do you with poles?
She does. I don't. I don't like them. But yeah, she likes them.
So. I like my pole.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm protecting my joints.
So you went. moderate height for me and Bam. Oh.
Did I steal yours?
Because I have the hard one. I know the hard one for sure.
Oh, I know your hard one.
Can I skip to the hard one?
Yeah,
I'll come back to moderate, but I for sure, and Teresa hasn't done this, but I'm going to make her do it. But there is a peak that you can do. There's lots of peaks you can do, but this one is called Cirque Peak, C-I-R-Q-U-E. And I believe it gives you the best view of the Canadian Rockies that you will ever, ever find. You get a view of Bow Lake, which is gorgeous, but you are standing on top of a mountain. It's about a, I don't know, 8 or 9 hour trek. It's not easy at all. So I think it's maybe 13K each direction. So, but it is, the elevation is quite difficult and there's a lot of scree and a little bit of scrambling to do at the end. And, but well worth it.
It's making me do it this summer.
Yeah.
Are we doing it this summer? Making me, like, you have to force me.
Yeah. So that one, if you can get up there and you can't, I mean, I think it's doable. There's nothing major technically that you have to do. It's just hard. It's
you don't need a tool belt.
No.
Or a helmet.
But you have to be okay taking a step forward in the scree and then sliding back down half of the distance that you just stepped up. And then continue to do that for 3 kilometers. It was kind of grueling. But then you see young people just fly up there and it's no big deal. So I don't know.
Yeah.
People. Young people.
With so good is it money. Like loose gravel?
Yeah. Like it's that scree. It's sharp rocks, right? So yep. It's all just, yeah. It's and not.
So is
it's
it,
not
are fun. You like mountaineering up the mountain instead of like trails really? Or is it trails?
No, like there's no trails because it's just this like just scree. You can walk anywhere you want because it's open. It's like when you get to that point, you're above the tree line and it's just grinding. Oh, it's no mountaineering though. It's just walking, but it's an adventure for sure.
Wow, beautiful.
I know Wall Trails calls it a hard for sure. So
yeah, it's a good one.
I don't know what's your
good one. Okay, I have a medium one.
Okay, what's your medium one? Take my.
I don't have a hard one yet. I haven't graduated to that level yet. My medium one, I don't know if it's medium or not. It might be easy. It's on the border, but I feel like anyone who goes to Banff should do this one. It's Tunnel Mountain.
Oh, Tunnel Mountain. That's a nice medium one. I should have taken that one.
You should. It's actually a summit. It's this little mountain right in the town. So you don't need to travel outside of the town to get to it.
Yeah.
It takes about 45 minutes to an hour. There's some switchbacks, but along the switchbacks, no matter what way you're going, you have beautiful views. And when you get to the top, you have on one side of the mountain, you have views of the valley, which is, it made me cry. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you have views of the town below, which also made me cry.
And then also the Vermilion
Lake. The brain tissues.
I know. Well, yeah.
So, and I think Tunnel Mountain, with anyone that has at least a reasonable range of mobility, can get up there at least in any, like, you know, it might take you a little longer, like it's up,
yeah,
but it's not treacherous and it's not particularly long, so you take your time, bring some water. We forgot our water on that one.
Oops.
Yeah.
An hour, you can handle it.
Well, we were at the craft brewery before that, which was maybe the problem.
I see. So what's the temperature in the summer and the winter? You know, because like I come from Minnesota, pretty brutal winters, like, you know, but I know the farther west you go, it's not, you know, might be a little bit more.
You know what? I'd say it's comparable to Minnesota, our winters for sure. Mm-hmm. So average winter temperature off the top of my head, minus 15.
Yeah, we have to convert that to Fahrenheit. Oh. So it'd be like, I probably averages minus 15. So that's going to be about 0 Fahrenheit. I think 0 and -17. Like, that's probably the average daytime high.
And you hike in that weather.
Minus 17 Celsius is 0 Fahrenheit, if I know my conversions. But
okay.
But you can get to like the minus 30s and 40s Fahrenheit very easily. You probably get a handful of days like that in the evening. You wouldn't want to hike in that kind of thing, but
about in the more, you know, the moderate times? Because like up in the mountains here, like the weather, it gets to be like, you know, in Fahrenheit, 80 degrees, but then the nights get really chilly. It could be 40 degrees all summer long. Is it that extreme
here? It's okay. The same here. Yeah. So for an example, when we did our backcountry hike, it was 31 degrees Celsius.
Which is going to be close to 90, if I know.
In the day. And at night, we woke up 86. Good job.
Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted.
Oh, good job. Good math. But in the morning, we could see our breath.
Yeah.
It was minus one.
Yeah.
So big fluctuations in temperature.
And that's in August.
Yeah.
When we went. Oh, so yeah. We're starting to cool a bit, but
bring your layers.
Layers, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Especially like once you get in the mountains, you can never predict, right? Like I know even when I did that peak, it was significantly higher elevation where you start off where we are.
Yeah.
I think it was about 17 degrees Celsius when we started at 10 in the morning, and you could see your breath at the top of the mountain. And it was probably 3 or 4 in the afternoon we got there, and it was July.
Yeah.
Like it's just way up there on top of the mountain. It's cold. Yeah. Mm. So
sounds beautiful.
But yeah, in the summertime, like it's probably 70 degrees is your probably average summer.
It's nice.
Maybe 75. Yeah.
If there's anyone's a rock climber, do you have any rock climbing suggestions?
I am not a rock climber. I like rocks, but I'm not a rock climber. I like
and you'll climb, but you don't rock climb.
On the ground. But I have a friend and colleague who is an avid rock climber. She actually just relocated to Calgary so that she could do rock climbing every weekend in Kananaskis Country, Canmore, and Banff. She just goes wherever. It's just like 45 minutes, an hour away. I'm jealous.
So does she have a recommendation?
Oh, I don't know.
We're not into the mountaineering yet. I don't know if I see us.
Here's my thing. I don't want to have to use my hands, my knees, or what, or scooch on my bum. Those are my rules.
You get your poles and your clamps. Okay, you don't want clamps and
axes. Yeah.
So in addition to being outside, is there like a lot of microbrewers? Is there a lot of little museums? Anything else going on in Banff for people to do that aren't like quite as adventurous?
Let me take this one for you.
You take the breweries, I'll take the museums.
So okay. I think when you're in Banff, you really have to look at Banff and Canmore as, you know, as one, right? So they're about a 20-minute drive between. Canmore is nice because it's got about 15,000 people. So it's substantially a larger town, and it's about a kilometer outside or 2 kilometers outside of the national park. So you could have economic development in that town and do a lot more things in Canmore than you can necessarily do in Banff, right? Because Banff has a lot of strict rules in terms of development. You just really can't do it without special permission. So, I mean, there's a number of breweries in Banff and Jasper. I think there's 4, 3 in Canmore, 1 in Banff, 2 in Banff now. Yeah. So they've got the Three Bears and they got the Banff Ab Brewing.
Yeah.
So you could have 2 breweries right in Banff. I think there's 3 in Canmore. The restaurants in Banff are
plentiful.
Yeah. Probably 100 or more. And they're a very high quality restaurants. You're not going to find anything that you won't find. Lots of cheap or like casual meals as well in Banff. Lots of chain restaurants that you might expect to see in the cities, but lots of beautiful local owned places as well.
Hidden gem for beer. I'm surprised you didn't say this yet.
High rollers. Oh, the bowling alley.
Bowling alley, but they have over 40 beers on tap.
Yeah, I think they have 40 like Alberta craft or Alberta and BC craft beers. On tap, and it's actually the pizza there is fantastic too.
There we go. There's another
little bit. You talked about the museums and the historic.
Was that called again? It's High Bowl.
High Rollers.
Oh, High Rollers. Okay.
High.
Oh, High Roller. Okay, it is High
Rollers. Yeah, like a bowling alley. I don't know what they're trying to get there.
High Rollers. High Bowlers.
Okay. I got it.
And it's right in the main road into it. You can't really miss it. So
it's really cute. But if you're a history buff, there's a lot of things to do in Banff too. There's the Cavan Basin National Historic Site. They have it's an interpretive center there. They have programs, educational interpretive programs that are there. It's actually the foundation of the town and the park itself. Somebody found sulfur hot springs there. So they built this beautiful historic site to commemorate the founding location of the park. And from that place too, there's some beautiful boardwalk marsh loop hikes.
That's my medium hike. What's that one called again? Cavan Basin to the canyon.
Oh, Sundance.
Canyon. That's about 9 kilometers. Sorry, I interrupted.
That's okay. You got excited. I like it.
Yeah, that one. But all the indigenous
history
and artifacts and displays there at the Cavan Basin are really fantastic as well. You'll get some good history of the first peoples for sure.
So that would be the number one must see. And then the next one is there's a White Museum of the Canadian Rockies. The building itself is actually a historical building and considered a historical site as well.
The white one or the other one? The white's the private one.
Buffalo Nations Museum?
No, the other one. The white's the private one with the art.
Oh.
The Banff Museum. I think it's just called Banff Museum, but that's the one that has the building.
Oh, Banff Park Museum.
Banff Park Museum, right. Yeah. So that's the one that has...
Oh, you're right.
It doesn't happen very often. I know.
We have this recorded on record.
I am going to reframe an audio clip.
Can you edit that out?
Banff Park Museum was the first original ranger station. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. It's beautiful. The building itself is beautiful. So and the town is so walkable. Like you can spend an entire day walking up and down the streets, going through all the shops and boutiques, and you'll come across a bridge with the museum on your right. And then you have Tunnel Mountain on your, like, it's so convenient to walk around and just spend an entire day or two exploring the town.
I don't want to shortchange that Banff Park Museum though. It has something like 700 or 800 taxonomy artifacts. Mm. And really what that place was, it was sort of the beginning of the conservation movement of Banff National Park, right? And so you're going to learn a lot about how they're trying to conserve and make this place more, you know, environmentally sustainable for tourism, things like that, but also trying to protect all the wildlife, because that really is the main draw for Banff, is being able to see
the wildlife
pretty much everywhere that you want to see them, right? So
good segue. Because I know what they're thinking. How do you see the wildlife? Where do you see the wildlife in Banff? Do you want some tips?
Yes.
Please.
Who's asking the questions here? We've taken over this thing. No one's going to invite us back anymore.
We'll just kind of relax.
So bossy. Tell people where the wildlife are. One of the best places to view wildlife is in Vermilion Lake. So you have the town of Banff. And just on the outskirts as you exit Banff, there's a little road called Vermilion Lakes. There's three lakes, but at nighttime, at dawn and dusk, those are the best times to see wildlife, notoriously throughout the park. But at dawn or dusk, if you drive down this little road along this lake, you are almost guaranteed to at least see deer, but maybe moose, maybe bear.
Yeah.
You don't see a cougar.
Yeah. Yeah. Cougars are tough, but yeah, it's a floodplain, and those are very rare in the mountains because water tends to flow away from mountains. But this is this sort of mossy, it's a very rare ecosystem in the mountains, and so it attracts
lots of birds,
lots of wildlife, and it really is walkable from Banff if you wanted to go for a 20-minute walk or a 30-minute walk, and it is gorgeous and a great place to watch a sunset too.
There you go,
and you can see Mount Rundle as well.
That's right,
which is your favorite, isn't it?
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
Cascade Mountain.
Cascade Mountain. Okay.
Right. So I think we need to wrap it up soon. I have some rapid fire questions. Kristen, is there any burning questions you still need answered?
What's your top two favorite restaurants?
Oh,
okay. I'm going to say I like Eden at the Rimrock is my favorite. And I'm going to say Maple Leaf, the Maple Leaf right on the Main Street. Beautiful.
Maple Leaf.
Okay. Maple Leaf. Yeah, they do.
Oh, Maple Leaf. Okay.
Canadian fusion with other things is beautiful. Lots of Canadian ingredients there.
The Vermilion
Room in
Banff Springs. The Banff Springs Hotel. You feel like you're in The Shining, that movie. It is so cool. That's how I felt. But the food was phenomenal. Best chocolate cake I've had in my life.
Mm-hmm. And get a beaver tail. That's the best thing to get if you're looking for a dessert. For dessert.
It's not an actual beaver tail then.
No. We don't eat beavers.
No.
Glad to hear. That's great. What are some of the favorite meals in Canada?
Oh, go ahead.
Best thing I've...
Brussels sprouts.
Okay, weird answer. You were not expecting this. Brussels sprouts from the Vermilion restaurant. I kid you not. Like, those things were little green jewels. They were so good.
How do they make them?
I don't know why. I don't like vegetables.
They roasted or...
They were deep fried, actually.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Like little hidden gems for sure. The pizza at High Rollers, I think you like, it's very good. Get it on half price day. Any of the fish meals or the steak meals at the Maple Leaf were unbelievable. They do really high end food for mid end price.
What's mid end?
Like, it's about 50 Canadian for an entree, but I would probably pay 70 for it if they asked me to, but they didn't. So I didn't.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. Beautiful fish, salmon, Atlantic cod. There was some pretty amazing food items there. So I don't think you can go wrong there.
I was trying to see what the Canadian dollar is compared to the US.
You get about $1.35 US for a Canadian. I think it's in about that range right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that right now.
Take about a third off of all our prices, and that's what it's
yep. $1.36 it says right now. Yeah.
Right again.
And I will oh my goodness, that's twice. I will say, because having been to the United States quite a few times lately, it used to be that Canadians would go down to the U.S. and find really stellar deals there, even with the bad conversion rate. It is a very unusual situation where the prices in Canada right now are actually significantly cheaper, but you also get the conversion on top of that. So
it's a good deal to come to Canada.
I think you're going to find things that are about half the price is what you would expect to pay in the U.S. right now on many things, because I was shocked to see the prices in the U.S. when I was there.
Yeah, last I wonder what Banff compares to. Maybe it's like a, you know, like a nice mountain town here, Breckenridge or Vail. I mean, like $400, $1,200 a night, that's definitely high for like the Denver area, but thinking the more exclusive mountain towns for sure in high season. Yeah. And that was pretty fancy.
Yeah. Well, I thought of one last question too, is skiing. I knew Whistler. I didn't know Banff as well. Just what's the top place? You said there's three resorts. Are they all great, or is there one in particular? And are there
More than three, but in the park, there's just three. But you can get just outside the park and get more, because there's Nikisko, which is where they held the Calgary Olympics.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Lake Louise, which is a ski resort. There is Sunshine Village.
Yeah.
Which is a big ski resort, but within an hour drive of Banff, I mean, there must be a dozen ski hills or an hour and a half that are absolutely, you know, world-class, right? I'm sure Denver must be the same way. And, you know, it doesn't take that long to get to ski resorts.
What's the rate card for a lift ticket, roughly?
You just went to Marmot Basin and Jasper. I think I want to say it was 70 Canadian for the day for a lift ticket. So probably 50 US.
Wow, that is a great deal. Yeah,
now that is a great deal.
Yeah, it's like $150 a day. You know, the local discount, we can get it for like $120 for a buddy pass. It's ridiculous. So you got to get the annual pass is how you have to do it for it to make sense.
Yeah, I think here,
it's cheaper.
Yeah, I don't know where that. Oh, that's big. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and there's also the pass there, but like $100 will get you on the hill. Probably $130 get you the rentals, but that's Canadian, right? So.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's nice. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. You want to go through your rapid fire questions?
Sure. Yeah. Some of them, I'm going to just skip that out.
Yeah, not relevant. There's the surf ones, right?
Right.
There's
no surf there. Yeah. So we're kind of related to food. What is a typical breakfast that you would have?
Well, eggs Benedict. You make fun of me. I eat eggs Benedict every time, but you eat the same boring thing every day. Bacon and eggs.
Oh, it's so funny. I don't think we've had anyone ever answer bacon or eggs in the whole world. It's always oatmeal or yogurt and granola.
Oh, super healthy. I like ham, bacon.
Yeah, we're going for 20-kilometer hikes. I feel we earned that breakfast, right? You got to fuel up.
Muffins?
Actually, there's a lot of good breakfast places in Banff, really specialty omelets. Yep. Tallulah's in Banff actually has a Cajun-Canadian fusion thing. It's sort of a nod to the Acadian culture, like the French people coming down and going to Louisiana. There's some shared history there, but they have a lot of Creole Cajun Canadian fusion, which is weird, but you get like salmon and jambalaya
omelets. Oh my gosh, it's so good. No, it's so good.
So it can be a lot of fun. So we actually for breakfast Tallulah's, we missed that one. But
is that throughout Edmonton that there's this influence, or just like in one little neighborhood?
Oh no, I think that's just one dude in this
family. Just one dude. Okay.
No, the Acadians.
Oh, the Acadians. Yeah. Oh no, the Acadians, these are sort of This is really not an Edmonton thing. This is an East Coast thing. So the Acadians are sort of these French immigrants coming from France in Canada's early history, because we used to be a French colony before an English one, and they were expelled out of Canada, and most of them went to Louisiana, which have a French, you know, tie there from your history, right? So there is this shared French history between these people. So now we have this influence here, that this restaurant is the first time I've ever seen a Canadian Cajun Acadian thing. So, but it's very good.
It's
very
good.
Yeah.
All right. And then what about any popular holiday traditions in that area?
Well, Christmas in Banff is pretty amazing. Like, I know I've been to Boulder, which I'm sure you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Actually,
I would say that they're the same thing. Christmas is crazy in both these places. It's done up. And I haven't been there in 20 years, but I remember 20 years ago at Christmas was, you know, everything carolers and the whole works, right? So nice. Christmas in Banff's pretty amazing. Canada Day might be a thing there. I've never been there, but.
For Canada Day, yeah. Fireworks and.
I don't know how much they set up fireworks.
I don't know.
But
is Canada Day the day after Christmas?
No, it's
Canada Day is July 1st. So it's our version of 4th of July. So we're not independent.
Okay, July 1st. Okay, and Boxing Day, that's a big thing in Canada, right? Is that the day after Christmas? Yes,
the day after Christmas. That's the
day. Okay. Is that pretty common that people like celebrate, or do we have to go to work sometimes?
So there's no celebration. I would say
it's Black Friday.
It's our Black Friday. So what happens, we give kids money for Christmas and they take that money and buy everything on sale the next day after Christmas and go shopping. Yeah, it works out well.
Yeah, it works for the older
like that's
kids.
How, yeah, they pretty much, I remember growing up and I'd get gift cards and that's what I would do.
Yeah. Go shopping with it.
Yeah. But no, nothing too particularly unusual, I don't think. There, you know what actually might be interesting for international, the National Indigenous Day, which would be now June 20th, sorry. A lot of these big areas are starting to make a bigger deal of that holiday and celebrate our First Peoples and things like that. So that's becoming,
that's June,
I guess,
20th?
A tourist draw? June 20th, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, because we just got Juneteenth. Like last year was the first year some companies, I remember it's like 5 days before, they're like, okay, this is now a holiday, and like everyone off. It's for you know, the freedom of slavery.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of similar. It's the same weekend, right? Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. But nothing too drastic, I don't think.
Very good. And we know what the money is called. So the Canadian dollar, right?
But you need to know loonie and toonie if you don't know those things. Loonie is the $1 coin and a toonie is the $2 coin. And nobody says $1. It's just loonie or toonie.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, there's a loon on the $1 coin. So they just call it the loonie. So there's the bird. And then we just were very creative with the $2 one. So we just called it the loonie. But there's actually a bear on that one.
That's cute. It's cute.
Yeah.
So you guys actually have $2 coins, huh?
We do. Yeah. And they were going to make $5 coins, but people rioted, I think.
My purse would be way too heavy.
Nice. That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much. And how do people find you? We mentioned it a few times.
So people can find us on our website, www.mountaintownramblers.com. We have everything located on that site, our Instagram account. We have a YouTube channel we just started. We have a link to the We're in the Rockies Banff guide that we've created. There's a new one in Jasper coming out soon. Oh, email mountaintownramblers@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. That was such a treat to learn more about Banff. I love what you guys are doing.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, can you please take a second and do a quick follow of the show and rate us in your podcast app? And if you have a minute, we would really appreciate a review. Following and rating is the best way to support us. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. We're at Where Next Podcast. Thanks again.